All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, if you will. It is good to see each of you out in the Lord's house today. Galatians chapter 6, we've been at Life and Liberty Baptist in Walkersville there a little over 8 years, and we praise the Lord for Bethel Baptist Church. You all have been a help to us. You may or may not know that. You've supported us, and many of you, I'm sure, have prayed on a regular basis. We're thankful for that, and if it wasn't for churches like you, it wouldn't be possible to be there. So we really do believe that you're a great help to us, and we thank the Lord, and it's good for us to know that God is using us. God is using you in your missions program and in helping other churches, and if you've been around more than a couple days, you know that Maryland needs the gospel. I'm not saying that to be mean. It's a very ungodly place, and there's a lot of people that need to be saved. It is a mission field. As your sign says, you enter the mission field as you exit these doors. So together we're here trying to do the Lord's work. We've been in prayer for your pastor, and we count it a privilege to be a part. I want to be a help to each of you here today and to the church. Galatians chapter 6, and beginning of verse 1 here, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Notice verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." I'd like to share with you this morning just some thoughts on bearing one another's burdens. Each of those prayer requests that were just mentioned, those are a burden to somebody, right? Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody's in hospice. We all understand what that means. So for some, it may be a major thing. You may say, well, it seems like such a major thing. Others, it's an ankle. It's a foot, a couple different ankles, right? There's burdens, and those are things that they have to bear. And it's interesting how the Scripture says it here. I'm going to do my best to cover it. But in verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." So I'm supposed to help others in their burdens. Verse 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." The Bible never contradicts itself. There's an answer for everything. And as we look at this, we're going to see we need to bear our own burdens. We also need to be able to bear someone else's burden. So someone said it's kind of like two sides to a golden coin, both of them being very important and very valuable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into this. Lord, I thank you for the day you've given to us. I thank you that we have the Word of God. We have an absolute authority in this day and age in which we live. Lord, I thank you for the church. I pray that we would look at the church as seriously as you did, Lord. Jesus died for the church, and you took it very seriously. And I pray that you'd speak to us here today. Lord, please use me. Please use Pastor Sutton. I pray for those that will be preaching, even at our church back in Walkersville, that each of them would be filled with the Spirit of God, Lord, that you would help us today to have open ears and open hearts. Lord, as I need filled with the Spirit of God, I pray that each and every person listening would be open and would be filled with the Spirit of God. It's already been prayed if there'd be someone here that's not saved. Lord, I pray that that would be the very thing that would be in their minds. Lord, as we think of burdens, and we think of many other things of how to help other people, that it would be the Holy Spirit of God convicting them and showing them that they need to repent of their sins and believe the gospel. Lord, I ask that you'd use us. I pray that you would help the young ones as well, Lord, that each of them would be drawn closer to you, that we would hear of those that would be saved and give their lives to you. We need your help at this time. We ask that you keep us safe as well. In your name, amen. Bearing burdens. First off, there are burdens that we must bear. That's what the Bible says. He says there in verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Now, we'll look at that in a little bit of detail at the end, but let's face it, I have burdens to bear, and people in this room have burdens to bear. And let's not forget, there are people that aren't in this church building that would be if they physically could be here. And so those people have burdens to bear. I'm not talking about some type of an excuse for not being in God's house, but there's people that have such a burden, they're in the hospital or they're being checked out. They can't be here because they have such a great burden. And there's burdens to bear. Each and every one of us have burdens. Just a side note, let me remind you that it's never productive to compare whose burdens are worse, okay? That's not scriptural. What's scriptural is that we help, that we bear our burdens, we help others bear their burdens as well. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, And we look at a burden that the Apostle Paul had. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." A thorn in the flesh, that sounds like a burden. That sounds like something he would have to carry. It doesn't sound comfortable. It says, the messenger of Satan. It appears Satan put it there. God had to give him permission. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. Reminding you of this, that when we have a burden, we don't enjoy burdens. And what we want is we want Brother Weaver to pray or Pastor Sutton to pray and to say, help this burden to be taken away. We just want it to be taken away. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want this thorn in the flesh. And I'll be honest with you, I have people come to me in the church all the time with burdens. And if I could, I would pray that it would be taken away. I don't want to see them suffer any more than I want to suffer. But the fact is, just because we pray doesn't mean it's taken away, you see. There's reasons for it. There's a great thought in saying, well, I can just take my burdens to the Lord and I can leave them there with Him. That's a great thought. God is able to take every one of them away, but many times He chooses not to. And so that's why it speaks of bearing the burdens, not simply praying so that they be taken away. Again, I still pray that they're taken away many times. Some people have been, it seems, almost buried under the load, and we often say, God, please take them away. What I want to show you from Scripture is Paul said, I prayed thrice at the very least, right? I prayed thrice that it might depart from me. He said, I want it to go away. We want our burdens to go away and our problems to go away. God said this in verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you the grace to get through it. When you have a burden, God gives you the grace to get through it. If you'll trust in Him, His grace is sufficient for me. It's those types of burdens sometimes that we say, I can't make it another day. But if you depend upon God, guess what? He'll give you the grace. You may not feel you have enough grace for the next 3 years, but you have the grace for today. And you look back and you say, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow, but God gave me the grace for today. I asked Him to take it away multiple times. The whole church was praying. It didn't get taken away. I don't know how I made it through, but wait. God gave me the grace for today, and now I can trust Him to give me the grace for tomorrow. But notice, it's not only my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's a lot to be said there. We're not going to expound necessarily on this passage. But notice He says, most gladly therefore will I rather. Do we look at our burdens as I would rather take this if it brings glory to God? That's some spiritual maturity. I'd rather glory. I'd rather have this. Lord, I could have an easy day or I could have a day of burdens. I would rather have a burden because I know that it pleases God and that brings glory to Him and that it might bring others to Jesus Christ. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So He says, therefore, I take pleasure. Can we say that I would rather? I'm not here to beat the pulpit and to say, boy, I would rather take all the burdens. I struggle with it too. But the Apostle Paul got to the point when God said no, he said, okay, how can God get the glory? Now he's so mature, he says, I would rather have that than have a day without God that everything goes smoothly. So first off, there are burdens that we must bear. Secondly, someone in this room has burdens besides me. I don't need to spend a lot of time in convincing you that other people have burdens. Not everybody vocalizes them. Sometimes they're vocalized by way of prayer requests, but not everyone vocalizes them. There are burdens in this very room. You say there's not a lot of people, but there's a lot of burdens. Regardless of the number of people, there are burdens. And I would venture to say I could go to every person in this room and they could tell me that they have a burden, and probably several burdens. If I were to just come down and say, what are you going through? What? Everybody would say something, and there's still probably things they're not going to share with me, and they're maybe not going to share publicly, but everybody in this room has burdens. People besides us have burdens. So Galatians chapter 1, just a brief history of the church at Galatians. Now, by the way, the Bible says the churches of Galatia. So a lot of times when Paul writes to the church at Corinth or the church at Colossae, that's to one church. These are the churches in Galatia. So there's more than one, however many that may be. But simply, it seems that they were doing okay. They were serving God, and they began to get backslidden. Galatians 1 and verse 6, he says, I marvel that ye are, he said, so soon. You are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he said, you were doing well, you were running well, and at some point you got hindered. Now that's important. We'll see in just a moment. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Galatians 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? He says, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And then chapter 1, we're just again giving you a background. These people, they were doing well, and they begun to go backwards. Chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty. He says you need to stand fast wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with every yoke of bondage. Verse 7 summarizes what's being said here. Galatians 5 and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He's saying this. He said, you did run well. You were doing a good job. Who's hindered you? So now that they've been hindered, this is why we have chapter 6. He's going back to the very basics of the Christian life. Let's face it, sometimes you get to the point where you say, we've been saved for years and years, and I would say your pastor probably has done this. He's probably said something like, we need to go back to the basics, right? Bible reading. We hear that all the time, but we need to go back to the basics. Make sure we're reading our Bible. Make sure we're faithful in prayer. Make sure we're faithful in church attendance. We need to go back. We need to be reminded of these things. Some of those basics is simply bearing one another's burdens. Do you realize that's a very basic thing in the Christian life? It's very simplistic in a way. So if I'm going to look at what are the basics of Bethel Baptist Church, well, hey, read my Bible, pray, preach the gospel. Repentance and faith is what the Bible says. I'm not going to give a whole lesson on repentance. We might do that in the next service. But genuinely repenting of our sins, believing the gospel, and bearing one another's burdens. I'm just showing you that to show you it is really a simple thing. It is a basic thing. It is a very important thing. It's necessary in every church. Every church that is going to say we are pleasing unto God is a church that would say I'm bearing my own burdens and I am bearing the burdens of others. Number three, I am commanded to bear someone else's burdens. As simple and basic as it is, do you realize it's not just a suggestion that we are commanded to bear the burdens of others? I'm commanded to do that. Sometimes we hear things on both ends of the spectrum. For instance, you'll hear somebody who might be older, and they might say, well, I can't do as much for God as I used to. And let's face it, they may not be able to go knock doors. They may not do very well with steps. Maybe they can't do well if you have scripture assembly, or they can't do a whole lot of things. But if you're here and you're saved, there are things that you can do, right? God is not done with you. And even if you were in the hospital this morning, and you would be here if you could, no matter where you are, God is not done with you. And one thing that you can do, and it's a simple part of the Christian life, is to help to bear one another's burdens. That's something that we can all do. God's not done with you. Somebody, and we don't have the young kids in here, but somebody might say, well, I'm too young to serve God. You're never too young to do the will of God. You young, even those that are young in here, you can help to bear somebody else's burdens. You can help to encourage somebody. My youngest daughter, we were just talking on the way in, and she was asking how she could help people at this church. And she was, what can I do? She said, I can be kind to them and I can tell them about Jesus. I mean, those are her words. And so she's looking to bear someone else's burden. She's looking to be a help to other people. So there's nobody too young. There's nobody too old. There's nobody that can say, well, I'm not advanced enough in the Christian life. But see, we can all bear one another's burdens. There's reasons that we don't sometimes. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. But I believe we are commanded, as the scripture says, to bear one another's burdens. Romans chapter 15. And And there is something to be said about the maturity in a Christian being able to help in a greater way bear one another's burdens. Romans 15 and verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And it says, notice this, and not to please ourselves. So those are opposites. If I'm going to bear the burdens of others, I'm not living for myself. I'm not living to please myself. I'm living for others. If I live for myself, I'm not going to be a very good person as far as bearing burdens is going to be concerned. That's what the Bible says. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ, here's our best example that you could ever ask for, even Christ pleased not himself. Now again, according to verse 1, if Christ pleased not himself, that means he bore the burdens. The Bible says he bore the burdens of many. He bore the burdens of the entire world. He became sin who knew no sin. He took upon himself all of the sin of the world so that we might be saved. Why? Because he was not pleasing himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Let's face it, the very best way to bear one another's burdens is to not think about myself all the time. I'm thinking of other people. When I hear this, when I study this, it opens my eyes and it makes me think of other people. I'm going to give you just a few maybe practical ways toward the end of how can I bear someone's burdens? How can I be a help to them? But it is a mindset. It is training ourselves to think of everybody besides me. As the little children sing many times, joy is Jesus, then others, and then me last. Now I need to take care of myself. The Bible speaks of that. We need to take heed to ourselves. We need to care for ourselves, but we're caring for others. We're bearing their burdens. So the opposite of bearing burdens is somebody who's living to please themselves. You know, if we live life our way, then we're not living it God's way, very simply stated. I had preached a funeral, and I've preached a handful of funerals of people that I don't know. Of course, that can be a little bit awkward, but it's a great opportunity to give the gospel. And so anytime they ask me to, I try my best, and I make sure that I get the gospel there. And that being said, there's things at a funeral that you can't always control, especially when you don't know the person at all. And one time I went to preach a funeral, and the funeral director was there and the family, and they were talking about playing a song over the PA system before the preaching. And, you know, as a pastor, you don't want to kill the service, and you know, you're trying to be careful, but you just can't control certain things. And so the family chose this song. I guess Frank Sinatra or somebody wrote it, and it says, I live life my way. Many in here may have heard that song, but I'm telling you that the title ought to make you turn the wrong direction. But you hear those words. I'm not recommending going and listening to it, but I'm saying to sit there, and I'm thinking about how can I get the gospel to these dear people? They need to be saved. I don't know that anybody in the family, probably 40, 50 people, I don't know that any of them are saved. And the song is going on, I lived life my way. Guess what? If I live life my way, I'm not living it God's way. And if I live life for me and for myself, I am not bearing one another's burdens. However, Scripture more than one time commands me. It's not a friendly suggestion. It is a command that I am to help to bear somebody else's burdens. That's a help to any church. Whether it's in Walkersville or here in North Carolina, wherever it is, that's a help to a church. If we follow God's commands, that being one of them, to help bear one another's burdens. Let me face it, I like it when people help me bear a burden. I like it when people lighten my load and are an encouragement to me. And so if we all did that one to another, I believe that brings church unity. That's a help. That's a help to your preacher. That's a help to one another. And that's what churches should do. That's what we're supposed to do. We work together. We bear one another's burdens so those burdens don't consume us, and we can all go out with a good spirit and help to lead others to Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, back in our text. Galatians chapter 6. We find in verse 3, Galatians 6, 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. there's no mistake that that's right in between those two verses on bearing burdens, right? If we think that we're something, then we'll think of ourselves too highly. We ought not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but esteem other better than ourselves. We ought to think of others. We ought to bear those burdens. We may think back and say, this week, how many times did I start a conversation with, this is what I want to do, or this is what I think? Now, people ask our opinion on things, and they may ask you what you think, and so I understand, but it's not about living for ourselves. We're living a life, number one, to please God, but then number two, to try to help to bear the burdens of others. Galatians chapter 5, back in verse 13. Paul tells this church, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So I'm not pleasing the flesh, and that is how I serve others. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." And so we see the opposite of bearing burdens is thinking of me, and when I'm thinking of me, biting and devouring. Unfortunately, we've seen both sides of that in Baptist churches. And it ought not be the case. We ought to love people. We ought to bear their burdens. That does never mean that we never compromise the truth. We never compromise the things that God has told us to. But as we follow that command, as He allows us to, we are to put aside the flesh, love our neighbor as ourselves. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye should not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Part of bearing burdens is being Spirit-filled. Well, it's easy for church members to say, "Lord, help the pastor to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help the pastor to have just the words to say. Help the pastor to this and that." And we ought to pray regularly and even daily for our pastor. That's a good thing. I highly recommend that. But it's one thing to pray for the pastor, but I need to pray that I would be filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God makes me a better husband. It'll make you a better wife, ladies. It'll make you a better child, and it will help you to bear one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens cannot be done in the flesh. I have seen, and I believe that it's possible that we hear a message like this and we try and try and try to go bear someone else's burdens, and first off, somebody may not even be saved. If you're not saved, you need to make sure that you repent of your sins and believe the gospel. You can simply be saved today. It really is as simple as becoming as a little child, but I would highly recommend that today. But even Christians, we cannot bear one another's burdens. It's more than just an action. It is being Spirit-filled so that we can see what those burdens are and try to be a help to someone else. Commanding to bear one another's burdens. Let's go back to John chapter 15. Jesus speaking here. All of God's Word is inspired, but specifically Jesus speaking here. And He says in John chapter 15 and verse 12, "This is my commandment," not my suggestion. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You say, "Okay, I'm commanded to bear a burden." What is a burden? Very simply, a burden is something that is borne and because of its awkwardness is difficult to bear over a sustained length of time. So it's something that is big and awkward. If we were to put a boulder up here on the platform and it was maybe 50 pounds, we could get a couple of the Weaver boys to carry that or to move it right down the steps. Some of you might say, "Well, I'm not that strong." Even if you're not that strong, we might be able to get a couple sticks or get something, a little bit of leverage. We could move that. I mean, we together, a few of us could get it down the steps. But a burden is like taking a 50-pound boulder and carrying that every day and for a long time. And it's big and it's awkward. And even the strongest one in this room would eventually cave under that. And so it appears that we would need somebody else to help us to bear that burden. It just gets heavy and it gets big and it's awkward. It may not be 50 pounds. It may be something that's lighter, but it's just awkward. It's hard to get your hands on it. So we think of a burden as something because of its awkwardness, the English definition, it's difficult to bear over a sustained length of time. So looking at some practical things here, how do I know that somebody has a burden? Well, some people tell you they have a burden in every detail, okay? Somebody will call you up and say this and that and this, and they give you all the details, and that's what we would call in the Bible a gossip, okay? Let me just remind you, a gossip does not help in these situations. They might give you every detail, but they're not helping to bear that burden. They're not doing something to help. They're just talking and talking and making sure that they're up to date on the next person's burdens. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't know anybody in here. I'm not up here calling names. I'm just reminding you that just because we know the up-to-date thing on everybody in town does not mean that we're being a help to everybody in town. So just talking about it and giving every detail does not mean that I'm helping. So how do I know that somebody has a burden? Very simply, you can look at their countenance. A lot of times when you're around somebody, I might come in here and try to have discretion and try to tell if somebody's going through something, but especially in a local church, you can tell a lot of times on somebody's countenance, things just aren't going very well. Somebody's maybe under a load that we don't understand, and we don't always have to know all of the details. We just kind of know that they're going through something. I remember Pastor Sutton giving the illustration, and maybe he's given it here. It's been quite a while back. He was talking, and he simply said, he said he was in a coffee shop or something. I know he's really good at trying to minister to people right in the community here, and I admire that. He was in a coffee shop or somewhere where he had gone on a fairly regular basis. I figure, Pastor Sutton, it's a coffee shop probably. So he went in there, and he said he looked at the young lady and he could tell by her countenance that she was going through something. I don't know how well he knew her or how often he had gone in there, but he said, "It seems like you're having a rough time." And he went to give her a tract and she just broke down in tears. And I don't remember the details, but she had some awful things going on. Why? Because he could tell by her countenance. That all comes from me not thinking of myself. Jesus didn't think of himself when he bore the burdens of all the sin of the world. He was thinking only of the Father and pleasing the Father. And when it comes to us, if I'm not thinking of myself, I'm kind of looking around and just being observant and looking at people's countenance. Maybe they're going through something. And I can simply say, you might be going through something. Can I pray for you about anything? And if they don't want to talk about it, you know, there's times where we don't pry it out of them. But we can say, I'm here for you. And that I'll pray for you. So looking at their countenance, being careful of what people say. It's important that we hear what people say, but we also need to hear how they say it, how they talk. Just being observant, thinking of those very things. Just a warning here that sometimes when you go to help other people, you will be taken advantage of. That just happens. That's part of the Christian life. But I heard somebody say maybe you'll be taken advantage of several times. But that will strengthen you so that you can help somebody bear a really big burden. And you just have your heart in the right place and you think of others and use your head and you can be a great blessing to other people. Now, we mentioned a 50-pound burden. We mentioned something that's heavy. But, you know, not everybody's carrying a 50-pound burden. They may be carrying a 10-pound burden. It's just awkward. It's something you say, well, I look at and it just seems like, can't they bear their own burden? I mean, it's only 10 pounds. But here's the problem. They have 12 10-pound burdens. And it's very awkward, and they're trying to carry all these things. And to us, we say, well, it just seems small. It seems insignificant, but if you could just help them carry one burden, if you could just help them along in one area, it would be a great help in their life, and they could do more for God, and it would build your relationship, and it would glorify God in the unity of the church. Finding a burden does not always mean solving the problem. As I mentioned, I love to pray and I love to just say, let's just take this burden away. That doesn't mean I can solve the problem. That does not mean that I can fix everything. It was encouraging to me as a pastor because I have people come to me and they have burdens, and my desire for all of my church people is that it would be taken away. I'm not going to get into specific illustrations, but I mean, I could tell you people, it hurts me. I can tell it on their face, and sometimes I don't know exactly what to do. I want to take it away. I'd rather bear the burden than to see them go through it. But finding a burden doesn't mean solving the problem. I heard a pastor say who pastored quite a few people. He said, I can only relieve a problem probably once or twice a year. And we're talking a pastor who pastors, in our eyes, in your eyes, probably a pretty large church. And he says, only once or twice a year can I actually help them. He said, I counsel them, I help them, I pray with them, I let them know that I care for them, but there's only so much that we can do. In other words, we can't take it away, but we can help them to bear it. The Bible wouldn't say to help to bear one another's burdens if it would be taken away every time that we went to God in prayer. It means we have to bear it. It means we have to carry it. It's big, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but we have to carry it. Help somebody carry it. Number four, I must strive for maturity so that I can effectively help others. The more that we are mature, I believe the more that we can help other people. Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. And there's other passages. We just need to be mature so that we can be a help to others. What does it mean to bear a burden? Let me just give you some things, some thoughts, nothing real deep here. Just practically, how can I help? You said we're commanded to bear someone's burdens. I don't know how. I can try to read their countenance. How do I bear somebody's burden? First off, pray consistently for them. You don't have to know the details, but you can pray consistently for them. And it is good to remind them, hey, I prayed for you today, or I pray for you every day, or I pray for you regularly. Whatever it is, it's good to remind people we're praying for you consistently. Secondly, we can assist. You know, as I mentioned, some of those burdens might not seem very big to you, but they're big to that person. You say, I want to assist. I want to help. You may be able to make their burden simpler. My wife and I had some, I don't know if I'd call it a burden or not, but we had somebody in the church say, hey, do you know there's a lot? There's a much easier way to do this. That was a burden that was kind of lifted. It wasn't solved. It's still work, but He said, there's an easier way to do it, and he said, I will buy it, and I will do it, and I will set it up for you. Well, it wasn't something that I was losing sleep over, but because of his knowledge, he was able to help me. He was able to assist me along the way. Maybe you can give somebody a book that's been a great help to you, or a passage in Scripture, and you say, wow, that makes sense, and that helps to lighten that burden. You can help counsel them. You can help to encourage them, tell them how they've been a blessing to you. A great thing is cards, phone calls, those types of things. They go a long way. Some people in our church are really good at giving out cards. Just all that they're always asking me, hey, can I have their address? I just want to send them a card. And so those things go a long way. Just letting people know that you care doesn't mean that we can solve it, but we can help bear one another's burdens as we're not thinking of ourselves. We're just trying to be like Christ, really, is what we're doing in bearing the burdens of others. And remember this, that we are to bear our own burdens as well. Don't complain. Bear our burdens with a smile. Don't take advantage of others. So bear our burdens and help to bear the burdens of others. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll just close in a word of prayer here. You can be dismissed. I appreciate your attentiveness in Sunday school. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for those who've been a great blessing to me as I've had burdens, and I trust that we've all been a help to others. Help us to keep these things in front of us. Lord, I ask that practically we'd be able to help bear the burdens of others. Bless the fellowship in between the next service, that it would be Spirit-filled and would be pleasing unto you. We ask in your name. Amen.